Well, as we turn to John's Gospel, let us draw near to the Lord in prayer. Father, you have sent your Son to be our teacher. And so we ask that you will help us and teach us in this passage of Scripture. You are the one who guides the meek in what is right, and you teach us your holy way. And we ask that you will do this for us now, in your love and mercy and kindness, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Jesus had great fame throughout the land because of all the miracles that he did in healing sick and in providing for those that he chose to in unexpected ways, the famous miracles that he did, going to the wedding and turning the water into wine, the way in which he would pick people up from their stretchers because they were paralyzed for years and even from birth, and people were bringing their loved ones to the Lord Jesus Christ because they knew and heard of his powerful works and his miracles, and so they brought their friends to Jesus and they sought from him miracles that he had performed and the great things which he had done. And there are times such as this when crowds, indeed vast crowds of people, will follow the Lord Jesus Christ and will come to him. And this part of Scripture is one of those times when a huge crowd began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told at the beginning of chapter 6 that when Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee, a large crowd was following him, and we are told the reason why: because of the signs that he was doing on the sick. And when the crowd had gathered and Jesus was teaching them, he saw that the people were hungry, and they had not provided for themselves. They'd just come all of a sudden, and so Jesus fed this huge crowd with the loaves and the fish. Jesus speaks about this crowd and he perceives much about them. And one of the single most significant truth of what Jesus says about them is, while there are many thousands, yes, of people following the Lord Jesus at this time, not many of them were believing in him. That's what he said in verse 36, I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. I wonder what it is that causes Jesus to say this. You know, here he has done something which is marvelous and incredible and mind-bending, that he has fed this huge crowd of people, and yet he should stand back from the crowd and say to them, I've done this for you, yet not many of you believe. I think he says this because the most important thing for the crowd and the most important thing for us is to believe in Jesus. That is why he says this about the crowd. I see you coming after me and you're following after me, but there is this one thing that you do not do, which you must do. You must believe in me. And so the question arises, and this is the question which is taken up in this chapter of Scripture and which applies to us also. It's this question of, what is it that we should come to Jesus for? Jesus actually takes this matter up as he speaks to the crowd. There are three reasons for people coming to Jesus that he shows, and then he shows how it is that the people have these reasons for coming to him, and how also that those reasons must be replaced with much better reasons for coming to the Lord Jesus. That they are more significant things that we must find in him and must seek from him. The first thing which Jesus teaches about here is those who come to Jesus for temporal and material matters. The people who are coming to Jesus because they want something from him now, and only for now, not concerned about what Jesus might do or provide for them in the long term, in the rest of their lives, but they are seeking something from Jesus right now. And combined with this is the desire to have from Jesus only those things which are material. The kinds of possessions which we desire. And we know that God made the world, that he created everything in it. And Jesus is here exposing the attitude which replies to God and says to God, I see that all these things are out there. I want them for me. I want to have these material possessions, the kinds of things which people would have wanted then or maybe different from now. But at the bottom of it lies the same thing. Maybe the desire to have a better house or a larger house, or a desire to have a better car or a faster car, and wanting these material possessions from God and saying to Jesus, these are the things that I want from you. In verses 26 and 27, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. You are coming after me. You are following me because I have fed you. I have met your appetite. You think of all the different kinds of appetites that we have and desires that we have and things that we need in life. And is there anything more basic than the need for food? Especially I find that myself. Often hungry, needing to be fed, and needing to eat. Well, Jesus had just fed this vast crowd of 10, maybe up to 20,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they saw the way in which Jesus was able and willing to provide for their stomachs. And so they started to follow Jesus. We see the way in which you have provided for us in this material way. And this is often the kind of message that is spoken in the world, preached in the world, the prosperity gospel, it's called, the material health and wealth. Here are quick fixes to your life, and things will be better, and Jesus will provide for you straight away. And he wants you to have a bigger house, and he wants you to have a faster car, and he will provide these things. If only you are faithful enough to him, he will provide them for you. And Jesus explodes that myth altogether as he speaks to the crowd. He sees that you're coming to me because of these material things which I have already provided for you. He says, but these are not the things to which you are to come to me for, primarily. There is something else that you are to come to me for. He says in verse 27, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. not seeking after the material things from the Son of God, but seeking after the spiritual things, seeking after the life that God has in himself and is ready and willing to give to us, should we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus teaching, what good is it if you profit the whole world and yet lose your soul? This is the kind of thing that Jesus is speaking about. The desire to have from him only that which is material. But we are to come to him for spiritual things first. To come to him for eternal life. And this is something which Jesus repeats to the crowd time and time again. We've seen it in verse 27, and then that's the essence of what he's saying in verses 35 to 40. And then in verse 51, he speaks of being the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And then in verse 58, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Now, the amazing thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he does care about material possessions, and that it is not only spiritual matters that we come to the Lord for. We actually come to him for all things. But first of all, we come to him for these spiritual things, and we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. Seek after the Lord Jesus Christ and the life which he gives you in the good news of the gospel and his death and resurrection. And as you seek those, as you seek Jesus in this, and as you trust in him, so then he will provide for you with all that you need in this world materially, and an abundance of riches in the next world. The second way in which many people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and which he exposes, is coming to Jesus with our works in our hands, and saying to Jesus, Jesus, this is what I have done. Affirm me. Approve me. Because of all the good things that I have done in my life. Because of the way I helped that elderly lady cross the road. Because of that time that I helped someone who had fallen, tripped up and fallen down on the ground. Because of the charities that I have given money to over the course of my life. Jesus, affirm me, approve me because of who I am and what I have done. And what Jesus says is, if you come to him in this way, seeking approval from him, seeking affirmation from him, then you will only leave him in disappointment. The rich young man turned away from Jesus in sadness because he was asking too much of him. He was not willing to sell all his possessions and give them to the poor. As far as he was concerned, the things which he had done in his young life were more important than what Jesus was calling him to do. And this is the very thing that Jesus is showing in verses 28 and 29. Because the crowd said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? What must we do to be seeking approval from God? What can we contribute? What works of charity? What kinds of things can we do which will please God? And Jesus says to the crowd, none of those things. It is not your works that you must trust in and believe in and seek approval for. It is my works in which you must trust. It is Jesus in whom you must trust. Look at what he says, and he brings this desire to offer works to God to an end. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe. That you believe. This is all that you can bring before the throne of God. This is all that you can offer to God. All our works are rubbish, are counted rubbish, the apostle says. They are nothing. Each one of our works is in some way tainted with sin. The only one who has lived in a perfect way before the Father, and the only one who pleases the Father, the only one about whom God the Father said, this is my Son, with whom I am well pleased, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, you must believe. You must believe in him. Instead of coming to Jesus with the desire to seek approval from him because of our works, come to him instead for faith. Come to him for what he has done, not what you have done. Come to him so that you may believe in him and trust in him. And this is the message which Jesus repeats to the crowd. Again in verse 35, he says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. And then verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. The third way in which many in the crowd come to Jesus is seeking the proof that he is of God. They come to him, and we see that in verse 30. Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? That's a, given what has just happened, they've got quite a gumption to say that, don't they, to Jesus? He's just fed, going on 20,000 people with a handful of food. And now they want to see a sign to prove that he is God. And how often that can be with us as well. Seeking a sign from him to prove that he is God. You, Jesus, you prove to me that you are God, and then maybe I will believe in you. And Jesus says, you cannot come to me and find happiness, but rather you will turn away from me and only find disappointment if you come to me seeking a sign that he is God. So how then must we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? What must we seek from him? Not a sign that he is God, not the proof that he is God, but come to him for communion with God. Come to him for communion with God. Jesus recalls the passage from the Old Testament where it says, and they will all be taught by God. Jesus is God. He is not a teacher from God. He is God who has come to teach. He himself has sent his Son, his eternal Son, and he has come to teach us. This man Jesus is not only man, but he is God himself. And so we come to him not seeking the proof that he is God, but we come to him for communion with God. It is communion with God, fellowship with God that we were made for in this world and which we lost because of sin. But it is regained through the Lord Jesus Christ. Communion with God, or communion with Jesus, is to have communion with the Father. Verse 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. The communion that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is communion also with God the Father. Because it is on Jesus' account. He lives because of the Father. He is here because the Father has sent him. Imagine you were invited to a prized restaurant, one of these very exclusive restaurants that maybe has a membership card and it's given to the elite few, and you receive an invitation. But then you have to say, well, I don't actually have a membership card. I can't get in. But then the person who invited you says, well, I know the owner. I know the owner. So come with me. We don't have the credentials for communion with God. What actually we have is credentials for God's wrath and judgment and condemnation. But Jesus says that through him, through faith in him, we are brought into the heavenly courts, where there is the finest of food and the finest of drink. And it's all on Jesus' account. It's because Jesus has brought us into fellowship with himself and with God the Father. We have access to God the Father because of Jesus and because of his relationship to the Father. Communion with God is with Jesus and with the Heavenly Father. And communion with God is a heavenly communion. We enjoy it here on earth, but it is a communion with God who is in heaven, and Jesus who is in heaven. And we are brought into that communion because Jesus has sent his Spirit into all who believe and trust in him. And so then there is this bond which Jesus forges between heaven and earth by sending his Spirit into us. And we enjoy, we partake in communion with God as Father, Son, and Spirit. Consider these truths of communion with God and Jesus Christ. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. See, there is the spiritual blessing which we enjoy as Christians, because of the faith that God has given to us in Christ Jesus, that our relationship to God is assured. It is confirmed. It is confirmed in heaven. It is rock solid because the relationship that we have with God is not something we have manufactured by ourselves. It's not a matter of what we have done or not done. It is a matter of the loving relationship between the Father and the Son, and the Father having sent the Son into the world, and then as the Son went to the cross and then died and rose again and ascended, he sent his Spirit to us. And God has done this, he says, as a down payment, as a guarantee for your resurrection. And that's why no one can take your salvation away from you if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your salvation has been established in heaven. And what man can do anything about that? What person can change what is in heaven? We must come to Jesus for eternal life. And come to him for faith. And come to him to seek communion with God. And this is what Jesus taught the crowd. And what did the crowd do in response? Well, the majority grumbled. Notice again in verse 66 that many of his disciples turned back from him. And in verse 41, after Jesus had given teaching about the security of the relationship that his people have in him, the Jews grumbled. Verse 41. He taught them about communion with God. And in verse 60 and 61, Jesus saw his own disciples grumbling. You see, the response that there is to these things, the response that there often is, because of the natural, fleshly, as to use that word flesh, and as it's used in the scripture, which is to say that it is, you know, selfishness. They grumble because what they really want is other things. What they really want is other things. They want to be satisfied in other ways. The Jews say, is this not Jesus? We know this man, we know his family, we know who he's related to, we know where he's come from. The disciples, Jesus, are you above us? Who is going to understand what you're saying? And many of them turned back. Which then leads us to this fourth thing. And I think the most important of them all, the reason why we must come to Jesus. Why must we come to Jesus? We must come to Jesus for Jesus. We must come to him not just to seek the things that we can receive or gain from Jesus. We must come to Jesus for Jesus. An entire crowd who left Jesus because they were not actually seeking Jesus. And this then is what Jesus says to the crowd, that you must come to me for me. You must come to me for me. Verse 53. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. He is saying, you must come to me for me. I think that is what Jesus is saying here in this passage. That he isn't speaking, when he speaks about the bread here, or when he speaks about the food and the drink, and when he speaks about his flesh and his blood, he's not here speaking directly about the communion which we are about to have. The bread and the wine which later on Jesus said you are to take and eat and you're to take and drink. He's not speaking directly about these things here. He is saying, as we look over the course of Scripture, he is saying that you must come to me for me. And then you take the bread and eat and take the wine and drink. Come to Jesus for Jesus, for all that he is, for his words of encouragement and joy and gladness, and for his words of condemnation and judgment. Come to him. Come to him for all that he has done and said, and all that he did on the cross, and all that he has done since in dying and then rising up into heaven and then granting to his people his spirit so that we might enjoy communion with him. And as you come to Jesus for Jesus, as you receive him by faith and trust in him, then any grumbling that there might be shall be replaced with joy. Amen. Well, we come to the Lord's table just now, and just to say first of all that the bread and the wine will be passed through the rows which have the white sheets to the side there. And so during the next singing of the next psalm, if you're going to take the bread and the wine, then please make your way forward to one of these rows with the marked rows at the front. Jesus came to us because we have sinned against him in many ways. And he came to us because God loves the world and because he has a people which he is saving and which he is drawing to himself. And the way in which God draws us to him is by his Spirit, and his Spirit grants to us faith and repentance in for our sins, repentance of our sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's Supper is for all who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the table which belongs to the APC. It is not a denominational table. It is the Lord's table. It is the table which is not established by man or men or people. It is given to us by God. It is told to us in his word that this is what we are to do. It is for all who have been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is for all who have faith in Jesus and are repentant of their sins. The bread and the wine is real bread, it is real wine, and it is this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us and established that we are to take as we enjoy communion with him. The bread and the wine is not the physical body of Christ and the physical blood of Christ. These are the signs that God has given to us. But nevertheless, as we take the bread and as we take the wine, the communion which we enjoy with the Lord Jesus Christ is real communion. Communion with him who is exalted in heaven, and by his Spirit he has come to us and he is with us in our hearts.